Welcome back. 1244, 1260 WRC. Andy Parks live from the Washington Times. And, oh, wait a minute. It's Wednesday. That means it's Charlie Hurt time. Charlie Hurt, he writes the Washington Times nuclear option column. Today's is entitled Wilson and Obama, 100 years apart, but so alike. Wow. How about that? Charlie, how are you?
I'm good, Andy. How are you doing?
Okay. The Revenue Act of 1913, sold to America just like Obamacare was?
Yeah, it really is amazing. We, you know, a lot of people, I don't think, realize this, but for probably over half of our nation's history, we didn't have an income tax until 1913, which incidentally was also the year that my grandfather was born, mm-hmm. because he was always commiserated that the year he was born, they brought in the income tax, and the year he started working, they started the Social Security tax. he was kind of double-crossed on that one. But, yeah, and so prior to that, what they had was, you know, they taxed, of course, tobacco and alcohol, but otherwise just had to kind of get by on tariffs. And so the whole plan was everybody would pay less money, everybody would, you know, everything would be better for everyone if we just had an income tax and the federal government could start taxing people for working, which they did. And do you know what the original highest marginal tax rate was? In 1913, when Woodrow Wilson gave it to us?
No.
7%.
Wow.
If you were the richest of the rich, no matter how hard you worked, it was capped at 7%. Of course, it didn't take them long to start jacking that up. In fact, they got it up into the 70s at one point. It was like the highest rate at one point was like 77%. But so it didn't take them too long to figure out how much fun they could have with this new tool.
Yeah. Cheaper goods. That's what you're going to get, ladies and gentlemen, and we're going to make the rich pay more.
And we're going to give you all kinds of stuff you didn't know you wanted.
Mm-hmm.
It reminds me of the Reagan adage, the whatever, the 9 most dangerous words are, hi, we're from the federal government, we're here to help you.
Yeah, that's true. You know, I was taught that Woodrow Wilson was a real American presidential hero, but I guess I didn't get the whole story. My teachers must have been Democrats, huh?
No kidding. And it is so funny the way people really do fawn over Woodrow Wilson. And, of course, one of the things that they gloss over is the fact that he had a very, very poor record when it came to minority rights. You had the Postal Service and the IRS were both naturally integrating agencies in the federal government, and he put an end to that because he thought it would be terrible for blacks and whites to work together. But liberals just, you know, conveniently overlook all of that.
Yeah.
But, of course, the real thing that he gave us, probably what he's most famous for, is he gave us the League of Nations, and he won both elections on a promise not to go to war. Of course, what that meant was we went to war.
Yeah.
And then his second promise was that he would make World War I the last war. And so he gave us the League of Nations, and remember his 14 points. I think everybody learned about that in grade school. And, of course, all of it turned out to be a hilarious joke because, of course, not only was World War I not the last war, but the very peace treaty that he crafted to end World War I, by most, you know, any historian will tell you, led directly to World War II.
Yeah,
and,
that's true.
And so, but never mind that. He was still given the Nobel Peace Prize in the category that the Nobel Committee calls the category world organizing. So Woodrow Wilson was our community organizer back before President Obama was.
Well, that's why Obama had to receive the Nobel Peace Prize. You know,
yeah, because he was gonna calm the seas and he was gonna bring us peace. What all has he done? Peace in the Middle East, calm the seas, ended all wars,
yeah.
All that peace going on in Egypt and all around the Middle East,
uh-huh.
And Ukraine. Of course, we forgot he brought peace to Ukraine. It's been great.
Yeah, really, really good stuff. Hey, I also understand that Woodrow Wilson cheated on his own taxes.
Oh, this is the greatest thing I've ever heard. So it turns out, this is 1913, the Revenue Act of 1913 basically established the first legal collection of taxes by the federal government on income. And then within just a few years, in 1918, Woodrow Wilson filed his taxes and was alerted after the fact by his secretary that his paperwork, he had messed up his paperwork and had failed to calculate everything properly. And so, being president of the United States, one of the things that's very, very easy to do, he penned a letter directly to the IRS, the director of the Internal Revenue Service, and asked him to do a busy man a favor and just take this letter as authorization to change his tax forms to reflect the accurate amount that he owes. And it's just so great because, of course, it's like, oh, I'm sorry. Who out there isn't a busy man or a busy woman who has a job who's filling out these? And, of course, today, you know, back then, the tax forms, the tax sheet was one page. And it was a very simple thing. It was like filling out, any kind of one-page pager on anything. And, of course, today, goodness gracious, I can't even begin to get through these things today.
Yeah. And the tax rate started going up, and they never stopped. And, heck, we're taxed so much now, even Congressman Jim Moran recently said, you can't live off $174,000 anymore.
and honestly, I mean, the real, at the heart of this is the fact that you're being taxed for what? You're being taxed for working. You know, and that to me, it will always be, as a principle, just a shocking thing for the government to seek to punish. You know, I understand, taxes where you're taxed for things you purchase or taxed for buying gasoline or whatever, but the notion that you are going to be taxed at 40% for working, you're going to be punished for working, that seems like to me a really, really messed up principle. There's something wrong with that.
Yeah. Pretty scary, though, when you look at the two presidencies. They actually do have a lot in common. And
yes.
Yeah.
And you know, Woodrow Wilson was a great, he was a professor. He came from Princeton. He had this pristine Ivy League background. Nobody would ever question him or suggest that he was anything less than perfectly pure motives. And you look around today, and it's the exact same thing. No one would question President Obama's motives or anything like that. And you know, I'm sure that he has the greatest of intentions when he gives us Obamacare. But the best of intentions, what is it, the road to hell? Or
paved with good intentions.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Charlie, always good to talk to you. Folks, if you haven't read this, check it out. It's in today's Washington Times. Wilson and Obama, 100 years apart, but so alike. It's by Charlie Hurt. Charlie, thanks.
Thanks, Andy.
1251 at 1260 WRC. Andy Parks, live from the Washington Times.